Today on Real Radio.
Achan answered verse 20. Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I've done. By the way, there's no act of repentance. He's only sorry he got caught. This is right here in the Word. He doesn't ask for forgiveness. It doesn't even come out of his mouth.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues now in his series through the book of Joshua. We're in sort of a mini-series, taking a look at chapter 7, the whole chapter, by the way. This section of Joshua's book records one of Israel's defeats as God's people enter in and take the promised land. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now as he takes a look at the reasons for this defeat. It's a lesson called Five Steps That Lead to Defeat.
The Christian can no longer say, well, I'm only human. That should never come out of the Christian's mouth. Ever. Well, everybody sins. Did you know God has provided everything for us not to sin? But James says we sin when we are led away by our own desires. The problem is you and I let our desires lead us so often of the time. You know what I'm saying? And this is shocking to people. I just thought I'm a Christian. I sin all day long and I'm going to die and go to heaven. You have a zero walk. In fact, you're backslidden. You're not growing. You're not taking anybody to heaven with you. In fact, if anything, it'd be better that if you just took your cross off and peeled the sticker off your car and just stayed the way you were. Just get that Christian identification stuff away from your life. Jesus says, get hot or get cold, but whatever you do, don't be lukewarm. He says it makes them sick. Self-confidence, ignorance, the third step, disobedience. Disobedience leads us to spiritual defeat. It says in verse 10, so the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Man, that's a strong word, isn't it? In verse 9, Joshua says, for the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of all this stuff that's going on, you know, Lord, and cut off your name from the earth. And what will you do for your great name then? I'm sure God can defend himself just fine. You see what Joshua's doing? God, you better do something. If you don't step in, you're going to get a bad rap. That's manipulation. God, you better bless me. They know it work. I've got a cross around my neck. I've got a dove on my car. You better bless me. We have to be careful. We live in the age of people rewriting God's dictionary. What does blessing mean? Well, it depends on what Christian channel you're listening to, doesn't it? I like God to define what the blessings are. Isn't it a wonderful thing to say, Lord, bless me according to your will? There's a prayer uttered in the Old Testament. Lord, don't bless me to the point where I'm wealthy and I forget you, and don't let me be to the point that I'm in poverty, that I disgrace you. But Lord, help me to be balanced. Do you know 9/10 of the world today would love to be balanced? We're so spoiled. We have the tendency, not only as a nation, but as a spiritual Christian people, to become self-confident, to become ignorant of what God's word has promised us and said to us, and be disobedient. We pull our tongue out, we say whatever we want, we reel it back in and we go home. We lay our heads down at night and we never pause for a moment to say, Lord, have I crossed you this day? Have I sinned against you, Holy Spirit? When was the last time we laid our heads down or bowed our knees alongside our bed or alongside our family or our friends or our roommates and said, oh Lord God, have I sinned this day and defamed your holy name? God might say, get up and go next door and tell your neighbor you're sorry. God says to Joshua, verses 10 through 15, get up. Why do you lie on your face? You can't do much on your face. can't do anything. You're no good to me on your face. Something needs to be handled. God says to the Christian home, get up. Something needs to be fixed. We need to fix it now. Israel has sinned, verse 11. And they have also transgressed my covenant, and I have commanded them, for they have taken of some of the accursed things. They have both stolen and deceived. They have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their foes, their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they have become doomed to destruction. This is God speaking to believers. They become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed thing from among you. And in 1 John chapter 1, you can read this exact theological, biblical truth that God says the exact same thing. He says, I'm not going to talk to you anymore until you confess your sin. And you say, I don't believe it. Christian, write it down. Write this down. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 says, God's ear is not deaf that he can't hear. His hand is not short that he cannot save. But he will not hear you. And he says, I will not deliver you from your dilemma because your sins have separated me from you. That's written to the believers. You say, well, that's the Old Testament. Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5. Believers, born again. They sinned in that they publicly lied to the Holy Spirit. They lied and then they acted out a lie. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 5 that God smote them dead. Heart attack, I don't know how it was. He took their breath from them and they died. You say, God would never do that again. You know what? He does it all the time. Paul writes to the church at Corinth. This is New Testament. This is your Bible, my Bible. God loves you so much, he will refuse to let you continue on long in your habitual sinning. You having an affair? God's going to cut you off. If you don't repent from it and walk away from it, God will cut you off. You'll lose it all. And if you don't stop, he'll take your life. Paul said to the church at Corinth, there is even one reported among you who is having sex with his stepmother. He says, I tell you, this is deplorable and not even mentioned among the Gentiles and their conduct who don't even know God. And he says, I tell you, ostracize that brother from the fellowship so Satan will kill him and God will have his spirit in the day of judgment to redeem him. You say, I don't believe that. Friend, stop being ignorant about what your Bible says. Yes, he loves us. Yes, he's gentle, merciful, slow to anger. He's gracious. He's so patient. But if we continue on and on and on and on and on, God must judge his family, just like any good dad will do. The Bible says in Numbers, your sin will find you out. That was spoken to the believer. Of course, the non-believer, their sins will find them out. The Bible says their sin is already on their neck. It's hanging over their neck like a blade. They need to come to Christ and be forgiven. Chapter 7 is written to the believing people of God. If we don't repent of our sin, we will be judged. The Bible says judgment must first begin at the house of the Lord. This is to the believer. And God says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, this is the message which you have heard from him. And we declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with God, but we walk in darkness, we're lying, and we're not practicing the truth. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. You can be a Christian and break fellowship with God. Yeah, you'll die and go to heaven, but your communication's broken. That's why in 1 John, write this down. In 1 John 1, 9, it tells the Christian to confess their sin to God. Then he clears up the line. You ever been on a telephone and the line's all garbled? Some of those new phones, you press the button, it does a rescanning or a repositioning, and then the line's cleared. You can hear perfect. It's the same thing. God says, I love you, man. I love your family. I'm with you. You just got to clear the line of communication. God is holy. He wants us to walk with him like that. But Achan, this man has sinned, which leads us to the fourth step that leads to spiritual defeat, and it's selfishness. This is wild. Verse 16. He says this. So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. By the way, it's believed that the high priest, they would have used the Urim and the Thummim. You can read about that in Exodus. The breastplate, the high priest would be standing there, and the Urim and the Thummim would be placed in the breastplate of the high priest. You're talking about millions of people and 12 tribes with tens of thousands of people in each tribe. So it's believed that the high priest faced each tribe, and the Urim and the Thummim was cast into the breastplate. It's like a little pouch. It's beautiful, actually. On his chest. As he faced the tribe of Reuben, the answer came up, clear. Tribe of Gad, clear. Levi, clear. Judah, wrong. Something's wrong. Okay, all you tribes, relax, at ease. Tribe of Judah, proceed forward. You're Achan, and you're in the tribe of Judah. That's, imagine being there. That's where you're at. The tribe of Judah steps forward. Then it says, the clan of Judah was brought forward, and he took the family of the Zerahites. Well, guess who's in the family of the Zerahites? Achan. Okay, all the other families, at ease. And he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zebda was taken. Now Zebda, he's going, I didn't do anything. Can you imagine how solemn this would have been? Family of Zebda, come forward. The rest of you, at ease. Why the process? I believe this, knowing God's nature from cover to cover, if Achan would have went, excuse me, Joshua, can I talk over here for a minute? Privately? Joshua, I took the stuff. I think he would have been forgiven and all would have been fine. If he would have repented. I believe I can prove this. Watch, follow with me. Verse 18, then he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebda, the son of Zerath, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And so Joshua said to Achan, my son, I beg you, give glory to the God of Israel, to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession to him. And tell me now what you have done, and don't hide it from me. You see, it was Achan's nature to hide it. And here you go. And Achan answered, verse 20, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I've done. And by the way, there's no act of repentance. He's only sorry he got caught. This is right here in the Word. He doesn't ask for forgiveness. It doesn't even come out of his mouth. This is what I've done. Verse 21, we can circle it and cut it out. I don't really cut it out. Circle it, copy it, and put it on the dashboard of your car. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian Calvin Klein garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, which is a pound and a quarter, I coveted them. Look, he saw it, he coveted it, and the third thing is he took it. And they, which I have taken, are there, hidden in the earth, in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it. What was Achan thinking? What in the world is this guy? Selfishness, you crazy guy. They're living in clans and tribes and neighborhoods. They're all nomadic people following God. They're not to have idols. Nobody's got anything but God. So look at this guy. Oh, look. He's thinking, that is a cool suit. I bet it's Babylonian. Hey, there's some silver. I can make out of that amount, 200 shekels, I can make 10 rings for each finger. Cool. I see it. I want it. Hey, and that gold? That'd be a good, nice chain around my neck. In fact, I can open up my shirt down to my navel and drive around on my red donkey. I can be selfish. I can blow my family off. I'm going to take it. And he takes it. What was Achan thinking? If you take something like that, what are you going to do with it? Drive it around the block? Everybody would know. What do you do with it? You got to hide it. That's how sin works. Oh, come on. Grab me. Take me. Come on. Oh, now that you got me, what are you going to do with me? Bury it. Where? Right in the middle of your house. Underground. Bury it. Hide it. When are you going to pull it out and drive it around? You can't. Everybody would know. When are you going to wear it? Can you imagine Achan opening up in his tent, opens his tent door, walks out there. Hey, Joe, how you doing? Joe's out there mowing, you know. What in the world are you wearing? What? Where'd you get that? What are you going to say? If you've gotten something and you've got to hide it, it's not from God. Get rid of it. Give it back to him now. What are you thinking? Well, my wife just doesn't turn me on anymore. Then ask God to fix your heart and your eyes. Well, my husband, he's overweight. That's the one I'm hearing now. I was in Mexico, and I was afraid that Greenpeace was going to keep throwing me back in the water. Ask God, if that's your criticism, be careful, because sin will go, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me, covet me, covet me, take me. Now what are you going to do with me? I have to bury you. I have to hide you, because I'm not supposed to have you. You see how this works? Leads to spiritual defeat, selfishness. Crazy guy. But yet we go, yeah, he's a nut, this guy. He loved the Lord, maybe. He's in the clan. He's circumcised. He's of the children of Israel. He's in the tribe of Judah. I think Achan's in heaven. I really do, even though he blew it so big. Adam and Eve, think about Eve. Eve saw the fruit. She said, it's going to make me wise, like God. And this snake over here talking to me says, I'll be like God. New age doctrine. I'm a new woman. I'm going to do it. I want to be a God too. And she goes for it. Yet, we'll see Eve in heaven because of her repentance and her confession to God. Verses 22 to 26, the fifth and final step that leads to spiritual death is complacency. Complacency. I don't care. You can preach your face off, Pastor Jack. I don't care. This is you right here. You're on your last leg, buddy. You're about ready to croak spiritually because you don't care about anything. Well, let those guys, what's this hooting and hollering about? Just wait. God loves you so much, he's going to ring your bell. Complacency. You know it's set into your bones spiritually because you don't want to deal with anything. Did you hear that Kathy's living with Bob? Oh, well, don't talk about that. Don't talk about it. Don't. Shh. I don't want to hear that. That's complacency. Go talk to Kathy and plead for her to go back home. Complacency says, don't make any bombs. Shh, smooth it out. Whatever you do, don't preach a message like this again, will you? Because I just want to be comfortable. Don't bug me. Don't let me get convicted. I might become effective as a Christian. I could lead somebody to the Lord and then they would go to heaven. Now, don't do that. No, complacency says, don't challenge me. Just let me sleep here in the sun. Remember Keith Green used to sing that song, Jesus rose from the dead, but you can't even get out of bed. Remember that song? I used to listen to that just to torture myself. Complacency. It takes away our act of decisiveness. We don't want to listen to the Bible. Give me a warm and fuzzy sermon. There's no passion in our lives. There's no victory. We confront nothing, not even in our own life, not even in our own family. But thank God, watch what happens. God loves us too much. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was hidden in the tent, the silver under it. And they took from the midst of the tent and brought it to Joshua and to the children of Israel and laid it out before the Lord. Verse 24, then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan and the son of Zerath, the silver, the cool suit, the money, his sons, his daughters, which, by the way, verse 24 implies they were all in on the sin. Because God doesn't accept the death of the sons and daughters for the sins of the fathers. That's in the law. So we know that they're in on it. There's no mention of his wife. She was probably the only right on one in the family. Take his donkey, his ox, his sheep, his tent, and all that he has, and then bring them to the Valley of Achor. The Valley of Achor and Achan, the word means the same, trouble. Bring them to the Valley of Trouble. Uh-oh. Verse 25, and Joshua said, why have you troubled us today? 36 men are dead because of you. And God's name has been blasphemed. So it says in verse 25, the Lord will trouble you today. So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Then they raised over him a heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. We just drove through it a couple weeks ago. It says Valley of Achor. It says Achor right there. On your way from Jericho up to Jerusalem. I believe Achan is in heaven. I believe, like the New Testament teaches, his sin was a sin that led unto death. And I believe that God has had us come through this chapter 1, chapter 2, and so on, now to chapter 7. That we make sure our hearts are clear before the Lord. You settle the account, Christian. Make sure that you're walking with Him. As a church, we must make sure we're walking with Him. I must, when news comes to me that you over here are suing you guys over here, I have to intervene. It's in the book that I do this, that you're not to sue one another. If you're slandering, if she's slandering him on this side of the sanctuary, I must intervene. Do you understand if I don't? Oh, the church could grow as big as a mountain and be as unholy in its private life as wastewater in the hearts of people in disobedience to God. And then if I walk away from him, I can never give a message like this. We must walk together because what I do affects you. What you do affects me. What we do affects one another.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a study that takes a look at Joshua chapter 7, it's a study called Five Steps That Lead to Defeat. It's a look at how the people of Israel suffered defeat while entering in and taking the promised land. Five Steps That Lead to Defeat. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this incredible book in the Old Testament, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, if you listen to Real Radio on a daily basis, which I hope you do, you may have heard our recent special edition on SB 48 and the homosexual agenda in our public schools and history textbooks. You know what, folks? It's time to get involved. First, learn more about SB 48 at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And then click on the button that says Class Act. Now, this is a bill that's specific to California, but I got to tell you, it's going to make a big difference in our country. We've got a special 2-minute video of Pastor Jack regarding SB 48. You can also listen to the April 19th edition of Real Radio. We had an interview with Dr. John Eastman and Gina Gleason, both of whom explained the perverse agenda of SB 48. And how you have the power to stop it. So again, realradioactive.org, and then click on the button on the right that says Class Act. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.